This is Jason David Frank, and you're listening to the Geek Cast Radio Network.
You are now on the inside of what I like to call the Circle of Trust. We are all connected in the great circle of life.
You know something, Bert?
What?
I think you and I are going in circles.
It feels like we're going in circles.
Circle is now complete. When I left you, I was but the learner. Now I am the master.
Because it's a circle.
Yeah, we heard about the circle.
Yes, we're familiar with shapes.
Hi, this is Greg.
This is Chuck.
And this is Dan, and we are Talking in Circles, brought to you by the GeekCast Radio Network, the podcast that is getting thankful because, inspired by the fact that this week is Thanksgiving, we thought we'd talk about the things we are thankful for. You know, it's there's a lot of things to be thankful for despite everything, and we figured let's talk about those. You know, it's a good time to be a geek for a different reason, so we'll get into that in our second segment. But before we get to that, how's the week been going for you guys?
My week's okay. I guess one thing is that I'm starting to realize what it's like to be old. when you wake up with a random aches and pains, you have no idea where they came from. I guess that's a clear-cut sign that you're getting old.
Yeah. Or you sneeze and it's like, oh, ow, now my back's out. So.
Well, it's funny because like I went to bed last night feeling totally normal, totally fine. Wake up this morning, my back's killing me. No idea what the hell happened. Like my lower back on the right side, and that's like I'm kind of moving a little gingerly. No idea what happened. Like I don't know if I just moved wrong or like if I like stiffened up in the night or if I like sleepwalk and fight crime. I have no idea.
It's not that option. That sounds
yeah,
cool.
I think that's different. The sleepwalker, which will be yeah. there was a hero back in the day that was related to dreaming and sleep. I forget her name, Nightmare or something like that. I don't know.
I think it was. There is one called Sleepwalker.
Yeah, there you go.
Probably from the 90s.
Probably. Probably created by Rob Liefeld and didn't have proper feet. You know.
Yes.
Speaking of Rob Liefeld,
a lot of pouches.
On Reddit the other day, I saw someone post an ad, a Levi ad from the 90s with Rob Liefeld in it.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. And I didn't realize how young he was. He was like 19. It's funny because there's a thing. It's like, I see you're made comics. It's like, did you have any formal art training? He's like, nope. I'm like, of course not. Of course he never had any formal art training. I'm like,
I don't know what's worse, the fact that he didn't or that he admitted that he didn't.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. But yeah, it was. It's weird. Maybe I'll put it in the post. But it's he was so young. It was crazy. So
that's pretty funny.
Greg, how are things going with you?
All right, I'm here. I've got a beer fest thing that I'm looking forward to this weekend.
Oh,
so.
Nice. That's exciting.
So maybe I'll be more interesting next week after drunken escapades. So.
There you go. I'm going to go into some brewery this weekend as well, so I'm excited about that. So.
Nice. What kind of brewery?
I don't know. Someplace in Lancaster. Mm-hmm. I forget. Yeah. So,
cool.
There you go.
Let me know what you think. There's one that's actually near Hershey Park called Trogs. They've got some good stuff, and they've also got some good eats there as well.
Nice. Yeah, I'm not sure where it is. I don't think it's near Hershey. I think it's more western PA, so I forget.
Okay. Well,
meeting some friends halfway. So.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
Let me know what you think and how it went and everything. I'm always interested. I'm actually drinking a nice beer right now. I've got a Turbo Nerd from brewed by Soul Artisan Ales, but they do it at the Susquehanna Brewing Company. So it's kind of a weird little deal. And this guy's kind of like he's like a nomad brewer. He kind of goes from place to place, but he's been like nestled down at like the Susquehanna Brewery for like the past year or two, and he just kind of comes out with like a limited edition beer like every couple of weeks that he'll post on like Instagram, and then people like for a certain date and people like line up for it, and you get like a a certain amount of a beer. You're allowed like a case or something of something.
Yeah.
So they'll put a restriction on it. It's kind of cool. But right now I'm drinking a very appropriate beer called Turbo Nerd.
Nice. See, when you say like some nomad
extra Indian pale ale,
I imagine like a dude like walking on the side of the street, like with the old Hulk music playing, like trying to hitchhike with a, you know, a thing on his back, whatever you call it, a distillery or whatever. You know, just trying to hitch a ride. But my week's been uneventful, which has been good. So, you know, no things running in the cars this week. So that's exciting. So I got that going for me, which is nice. I don't know if I told the story last week or not, but it's somewhat of a funny one. So you ever go into work when you're actually on your day off by accident?
No.
Yeah. So I did that.
Can't say.
Yeah. So this time of year is, I have to use up a lot of my PTO, because if I don't use it, I lose it. So, and I usually have a lot of left over. So on a Monday, I kind of go in, get everything ready, and I'm setting up a meeting, because every Monday I have a meeting with my team members, and it's online, so I'm like getting ready, I'm in the meeting, and like no one's joined yet. I'm like, why is anyone in this? Because usually people are on time, so I'm like trying to, like, I'm messaging people, and like, and they start coming in, and then my boss a little bit later is like, aren't you off today? I'm like, no, I'm off tomorrow, I'm not off today. And then she's like, I think you're off. And I'm like, no. And then, and I'm looking at the calendar. I'm like, yeah, I was supposed to be off today. I had today off, but I completely forgot. So I drove all the way into work on my day off. And it was in the middle of a meeting without realizing that, no, I actually was off on that day. So I was like, wow, that was amazing. So I basically ended up just working half day, going home, and then going to see Doctor Strange, and then picking up my son. So I'm like, that's amazing. So that was...
You should automatically win Employee of the Month.
Yeah, exactly. And I only, at this point, I only go in the office 2 days a week. And of course, one of the days, like, it was... If I worked from home, it wouldn't be that big of a deal, but it was actually one of the days I was in the office. So that entire trip for nothing. So, but, yeah, what are you going to do? Is the story of life. But one thing I did do, because I do have a lot of time off this time of year, is I am reading a lot. And one thing I did want to read, I don't have much to say about it. I was hoping to have a bigger review, but I read Thanos number one by Marvel that came out today or yesterday, which written by Jeff Lemire. And I think I shared that with you, Chuck, I think the preview of it or whatever.
I read it too, actually. I was going to talk about it a little bit.
Oh, great. So we can talk about that together. So before, yeah. I have something else I'm going to review in full then. I thought you'd read it, but I don't know if you would pick it up right away, but that's pretty cool. So what I did read in full that I did want to talk about is this graphic novel from Dark Horse Comics. It was actually originally a French graphic novel, but was translated and published by Dark Horse, and it's called Muhammad Ali, about this guy Muhammad Ali. It's basically this biography, graphic novel biography of him, and that may not sound all that exciting, but man, this thing is like legitimately amazing. This, the artwork and the creativity of the this book is insane. Like, I have no artistic skill whatsoever, but every page was designed in a unique and creative way in order to tell the story. And it basically tells his entire life. And within that, like, kind of what was going on in the country at the time, kind of using him as a framework for the ongoings of civil rights movement and other things going on, the Vietnam War, the presidency. And it's written as if it's the person, the author, speaking to Muhammad Ali. So it's, you kind of get the combination of, like, it's almost like a living documentary while at the same time still getting the personality and the intimacy of like a novel or biography. So I was really blown away by it. I did a full review on geekcastradio.com that you can read, and I gave it 5 stars, and I don't give that lightly. You ever remember those science books as kids where you would open it up and each page is just chock full of all these different tidbits of information, and like you would, you know, just kind of go page for page, just looking at all these cool things, all these little different designs. And that's what, like, it was. Like, each page was almost like a living documentary in a way. And I've read other stuff about Muhammad Ali. I've watched a lot of documentaries from, you know, I Am Muhammad Ali to a few, When We Were Kings, which is really good. And this is probably the most comprehensive thing I've seen about him. And it's really, if you want to know what made him who he is, and even if you're not a fan of him, if you're not a boxing fan, I think it's worth reading. It's just because of the artwork and the creativity behind it. So it's, like I said, it's done by Dark Horse. It's, I think, published in a hardcover right now. It is expensive. It is a hefty price because it is a full graphic novel. It's over, you know, 180 pages, I believe. So it is dense. I would also say that it's a good chance your public library may have it, and you can pick it up there. That's how I was able to read it. So I would advise reading it. So that's, like I said, it's Muhammad Ali, published by Dark Horse Comics. It came out earlier this month, and it's available now. So
if his mother calls him Clay, I'm gonna call him Clay.
Oh, he stole my joke.
Nice.
Great that was the subtitle, great weirdly minds. Enough. So.
Pound for pound, Joe Louis, best boxer I ever lived.
But yeah,
why, so, when a white man is always in, you always got to bring up Joe Louis.
Rocky Marciano, I think.
Marciano, I don't follow boxing.
Rocky, you know, it's always a good bet. But like I was mentioning, I did also read Thanos. And, you know, Chuck, you said you mentioned you read it. It's an event when you pick up a new comic. I know Thanos is like your all-time favorite character. He went quite far in our badass bracket tournament years ago, and I know it has some of your other favorite characters appear. So what did you think of Thanos number one by Marvel?
I enjoyed it a great deal, to be honest. And as you mentioned, I don't buy too many new comics for a couple of reasons. One, I'm not too fond of some of the things they're doing right now, although I'm coming around to it. I've been kind of exploring things a little bit, and I've been reading some of the Hickman stuff, which I really liked, and everything. I think Bendis just left a bad taste in my mouth. So once, you know, once I got away from him, and, like, you know, I really like Hickman stuff and stuff like that. But so I'm kind of trying to get back into it. But the other main reason is they're so damn expensive.
Yeah,
it's like most of them are like $4 a pop, and I'm like, I just wait for the trade paperback and like get it for 30% off and save
some,
like
some of them of are like tiny graphic novels, and they sell them for like $6.
Yeah, so like I don't know, I've just been collecting like trades and hardcovers, and usually like our comic book story always has them for like 30% off, and plus you can get them like sometimes on the Amazon marketplace, like people are selling them like really cheap, like $10 and stuff. So I usually just go that route, but when it's like a number one issue of something I'm really interested in, I'll pick it up just for like collector's value and stuff, like to say I have the number one. So I did that with a couple other ones, but I wanted to pick this one up. And this one really, really, I enjoyed a lot. Like you mentioned, Jeff Lemire is writing it, Diodato on the art. And I don't want to give like too much away. I don't know how far to go with the spoilers, but I think like, I'm pretty sure this was in the, some of the preview release images of it anyway, but if you don't want to know anything about it, just like take the spoiler warning, kind of skip ahead 30 seconds or whatever. But I do love the fact that one of my other favorite characters, Champion of the Universe, appears in this. And by the sounds of it, seems to be playing a pretty significant role in the story moving forward. I don't know if you got that impression too, Dan. So.
I think so too. Like, I feel like reading this, I kind of got the same feeling of reading some of the, when the Cosmic Universe was kind of relaunched back with like the Guardians of the Galaxy, not of, as we know it today, but when it was after the Annihilation and things like that. It seems like they are maybe targeting some of those characters that were, you know, been tossed aside and not really, people haven't really been using them much, and say like, okay, let's see if we can rewrite that magic again. So it does seem like he is, you know, getting his own little band together. And I wasn't sure, like, how much they would reference his, like, old life and his old going around and claiming himself the champion. But they didn't shy away from that at all. They actually did bring that up, which I thought was pretty cool. So.
Yeah, he's such a cool character, too. And I was kind of surprised, like, they sort of changed his dialogue a little bit from, like, some of the stuff that I've read him in.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what you thought about that, because he does... He isn't as brash or you know, let's say overly, it seems like, especially his first story that you've talked about, like when he was what the thing? Is that the one he was first appeared in?
Yeah,
he was much he was more arrogant, like, and this he seemed a little bit more subdued.
Yeah, and not only arrogant, but like just very, I don't know, like sort of emotionless almost. Like it was, there was no style in the way he talked. It was very like stiff and firm and like kind of, you know, not very. You would think it would be a very lame person to talk to, kind of. But like this, it's a much more like modern, like earthly dialogue he talks in, and I guess it's. Could probably make him a little bit more relatable and stuff. So that's interesting. But just he's such an interesting character, and like the sheer size of him too. Like the dude is massive. Like he's taller than the Hulk. I think he's supposed to be like 9 feet tall or something like that. But it's just the physical presence that's pretty awesome. And the fact that he's mastered so many forms of, you know, martial arts, and you know, proven himself time and again fighting people all across the universe. It kind of sets the story up with Thanos pretty well, because you're thinking like, well, this guy's definitely formidable, and you throw him together with some of the other people that they're trying to assemble. You know, it's certainly very interesting where they're going to go with it. Now, one thing, I don't know if you heard, Dan, but how many issues is this supposed to go, or haven't they said?
I haven't really looked into it, because I don't want to know. Like
Yeah.
It seems like typically for these stories for Marvel, often these character like specific ones, not all of them, but a lot of them, typically go around 12 issues or so. It does vary. Like they've had like Magneto, which was like 18, I believe, and I don't think maybe it will be an ongoing. I mean, Darth Vader, which is, I guess, a little bit different, but still a series that focused on the villain, went 25 issues. So I personally not really looked for it. Like, I didn't want to know if it was a short story, or, and there's no one of four, or, you know, one of six on the cover. So as of right now, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I would be surprised if it went above a 12-issue series, just because it seems like Marvel's rarely doing that with books in general nowadays.
Yeah, I could definitely agree with that. I mean, other than that, there's not too much I can say without giving it away. Thanos doesn't have a whole lot of action dialogue. It's a little bit in the beginning, but then they kind of focus on some other things. So I don't know. What were your thoughts on it?
I did. I thought it was a pretty good first issue. Like you said, it was one that was seems to be more setting the stage of what's coming. There's a little bit of some twists and turns in there I wasn't expecting. But I think it was almost like kind of reminding people that Thanos is a badass. I don't know if you've been keeping up with it, but the most recent thing Thanos did, it was in the Civil War II storyline. He was basically captured and put in prison by the Ultimates / the Avengers, but doing so, he did kill a few people and injure a few people, but I think it felt, so we don't know how he got out of that and in the situation now, because, you know, Civil War II got delayed, so I don't know if that's part of it or not, but I did like how it seemed like they're putting him back in the cosmic universe, because I think he gets devalued as a character the more and more you place him with Earth characters and, like, the Avengers. Yeah. I think he works best with cosmic characters. He should be a different power level than all the other Avengers. It's weird seeing like Iron Man being able to go toe in toe with Thanos. It I don't know. That just seems off to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Hickman made it work because he had so many other characters within it that were that level. But so I did like that. I do like the characters they're bringing in. We didn't mention. Is it the Fox guy? I forget his name. Stop.
Star Fox,
bringing him in. And Thane, which is obviously Thanos' son. Did you read the Thanos Uprising that Lemire did as well, like his origin story?
I did, but it's been a while. So okay.
I wasn't like that. Thought that was okay. To me, it was like a story
Yeah,
it was a story that didn't need to be told. That got told. Like it, I don't know. I think there was some attempt to make him a little bit more sympathetic than you really needed to. It did show he was a pretty evil human being with this, just killing all of his sons and things like that, that he bore. But I'm liking this a lot more so far. I'm interested where it's going. I just like good cosmic books, and the only cosmic books that Marvel's been doing right now, Silver Surfer, which is different. I love it, but it's not. It's more. It's different. It's not like a serious book. It's more comedic. And you have Guardians of the Galaxy, which I've stopped reading. It's just been. It's not been good.
So, Nova's pretty good, but he's kind of more Earth-based anymore when it came to Sam Alexander. But yeah. he has been a space character in the Nova books. He does go out to space occasionally.
Space
character. But I'd recommend him too.
Yeah, I've liked Nova too, and now they're bringing back. They're relaunching Nova too now with Sam Alexander, but Richard Rider is coming back, so that's exciting.
Yes.
I'm glad we're getting this kind of Thanos book that. And I hope we get more like this. I like Jeff Muir as a writer a lot. Like he doesn't. I don't like everything he does all the time, but he right now he's doing things like Black Hammer, which is really good, and he's done Bloodshot Reborn, which has been really good. And I've enjoyed this a lot too.
He's doing a lot anymore. There's a lot of comics out there with his name on it. He. I think he either just got out of or still doing like a whole bunch of different X-Men stuff as well.
Yeah, and he's doing the new X-Men event, which has not been very good.
Death of X,
yeah, that's not been
good. It's all right. It's kind of dragging so far, if you ask me.
Yeah. So I'm excited for it. I do like the artwork a lot. I thought that was really solid, and yeah. I love there's a great little action sequence of just Thanos like, yeah, I'm taking my throne back. But did you know the character that, you know, the one that it opens up that kind of replaced him when he was gone? I was not really aware of.
Yeah, I have seen him before, but I think it was only like one time, and I forget what it was in right now. But I have seen him before, but I didn't realize, like, you know, what happened where he took over the Black Order and stuff. I didn't really know that, but it seemed like they just kind of mentioned it in passing, like it wasn't really that important. But yeah.
Do you think someone who is not a Thanos fan or a fan of cosmic characters, maybe, you know, Greg, for example, would enjoy it? Or do you think you would really have to be into that to like this, the at least the first issue?
No, I don't think you have to be. I have to be into it that much. And the good thing about it too, I think, is that you don't really even need any prior knowledge of the characters, like as much as you would think. You know what I mean? Like some people are afraid to jump onto things, but I think this is kind of. It seems like it's maybe setting up for a very good self-sustaining story. Like it's kind of, it could be standing on its own, because it seems like it sets it up pretty, you know, pretty stable, and you know what's going on. Like you don't really have to have read the last major event to see what's happening, at least not yet anyway.
Yeah, which is so good, because it's such, I feel like every Marvel comic now has been somehow majorly changed because of Civil War II, which has not been great, but it's good to see something like this. This is separate and its own thing. So,
and it's, yeah, and like, don't get me wrong, like when they do the crossovers, you know, having a couple tie-in issues, a couple tie-in titles is fun, but not like everything tying into it. It's just like, it makes it like kind of ridiculous that when you start tying every single title into it and you have like a run of 5 books from every title that are tied into this event. And it's like, it's tough for some of the new people, because they're just like lost. Like, well, what happened here? Like, I missed something here, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
especially when you read something in trade, you have this story going on, and suddenly this other Civil War thing kind of creeps in for no apparent reason, and then it goes away. So yeah.
Yeah. The one thing I thought was cool, I don't know, did you read the little thing at the end that Jordan White wrote?
I did not.
On the last page, it's neat. Like, it's just kind of like random stuff. It's not that important, but like the last couple sentences, he says something really cool. You know that the Marvel game, the Contest of Champions or whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
I guess he kind of like wanted to give a thank you to the people that came up with Thanos' look in that game. It's a company called Kabam. With a K, because that's cool. And he wanted to throw like a thank you out to them because of their design for him. And he said that's kind of what they're using now as their template. So that was kind of interesting. Like,
yeah,
doing that instead of like coming up with their own original design. But it is a really good design. I like the look of him and everything. So
yeah, and it does the thing a good first issue should do, where it leaves you at that, oh, what the hell is this type of moment? So they make you kind of read on. So gotta give it points for that. So I'm definitely picking up issue number 2, and I'm very happy for the first issue. So
I think I might even have to crack the wallet open and buy a couple more issues.
Nice. I'm hoping Marvel looks at what DC's doing with like having more $2.99 books and thinks, yeah, that's what we should do. But
yeah,
who knows? We'll see. But, all right. Well, anything else before we take a quick break?
I did want to mention something quick. Okay. If there's any Flash comic fans out there, they are coming out with a collected edition of Mark Waid's run on the Flash, which is a really popular run from the 90s and stuff. The first volume will be coming out, I believe it's December 13th, I think. I was looking stuff up today and actually already ordered my copy of it today when I picked up the Thanos book.
Nice.
But there's some really great stories by Waid in there from Flash, and I think there's a second volume that'll be coming out like next spring. It's like in May or something. And then that has like the famous like return of Barry Allen story, like when he came back after Infinite Crisis and stuff like that. So if there's anybody that was into the Mark Waid Flash stuff, they have some full volumes coming out, which is pretty cool.
Nice. Yeah, I have. That is a huge, like, so much of DC is a huge thing for me, but I do need to read more of Mark Waid stuff because I pretty much love everything he does. So, well, not everything. I don't know. That's another statement, but he's a good writer for sure. So,
yeah.
Awesome. Alrighty. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to be getting thankful as we talk about the things we are the most thankful for in honor of Thanksgiving. That's a lot of thanks in one sentence. I apologize, but we'll see you in a bit.
Hey guys, this is JD from the In Session Film Podcast. Every week on our show, you can join my co-host Brendan and I as we review the latest films that's out in theaters. It also inspires us to discuss a top 3 list of some sort, and we have a lot of other fun movie discussions as well. It's always a blast. And we also have a show on Fridays called our Extra Film Podcast. This is a show that gives us the space to talk about the latest indies and art films and other classics that we normally just don't get to talk about on our main show. You can find our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and more. In fact, you can just see everything about us, including our social medias, at InSessionFilm.com. So join us every week. We'd absolutely love to have you.
All right, and welcome back. Yes, we're going to have some fun today as we look at the world we live in and think of things to be thankful for. And I guess maybe, Greg, since you didn't get an opportunity to start last time, maybe we'll throw it to you first here. Overall, this year, forever, I don't know. What are you thankful for?
Well, I kind of have a two-parter here. I am thankful for Chipotle, and I'm also thankful for toilet paper.
They
could be related. They couldn't be, you know, a little mysterious kind of thing.
Well, did you hear about the guy who, you know, he was suing Chipotle for food poisoning, and then within his suit asked for free Chipotle? So it's like, you gave me food poisoning, but it's like, I still...
That stuff is so good, though.
Yeah, I still want to eat it, even though I know it's going to cause... explosive diarrhea. It's worth it, though.
That's when you know they got you. They got you hooked.
So, Chipotle, what do you usually go with? Do you go for everything? Your burrito bowl guy? Your burrito guy?
I kind of switch it up here and there, but my kind of standard go-to, which I kind of did tonight, but there was a little flair in there because they have something new. I usually go with... a burrito or a burrito bowl. With the burrito bowl, I get the shell on the side, so it's still like I'm having a normal burrito anyway. But I'll do brown rice, black beans. Once you go black, you never go back. Chicken, tonight I had chorizo in there. It was a half and half chicken and chorizo, which chorizo is a new thing, and I love chorizo. But then I go...
Wait, did they let you go half and half? I didn't even know that was a thing. All these rules... Wow.
I went half and half. And then I usually do hot sour cream, and then I usually just say last three, and they're like, well, you know, yes, I know guac's extra. Yes, we all know that guac is extra at this point, Chipotle. So I go cheese, guac, lettuce.
I always go burrito. I'm very simple, burrito bowl, but I make sure to get, you know, all different types of salsa because, you know, you got to get your money's worth, so...
Well, anytime I go there, they always have trouble rolling mine up. So I think I get enough in mine. Because tonight they had trouble rolling it up as well.
Actually, I can't do the burrito because I feel like it just ends up being a bowl anyway. So I'm like, I might as well just cut out the middleman and go right to the bowl. So
yeah, I kind of like to anymore. I've been kind of doing a burrito bowl and I get the shell on the side and then I'll get chips. And so I'll scoop up the burrito bowl with the chips. And then at the end, I just kind of like rip up the shell and just eat it.
Nice. Very nice. Chuck, moving on over to you. What are you thankful for?
This year, I'm thankful I'm not a cross-country runner.
There you go.
Always thankful for that.
I don't know if you guys have seen the online all day today, but there was a group of, I believe it was college cross-country runners running through this field. And all of a sudden, like, a bunch of deer started running across the field.
Nice.
And, like, some guy shouts out, "Watch out for the deer!" And then all of a sudden, one of the deer just, like, blasts right into the guy and just, like, knocks him, like, 10 feet. Oh, my gosh. Like, you could literally hear the impact on the camera.
Wow.
Of, like, the deer hitting the guy. And, like, it looked like... Some, like, have you ever seen, like, a football game where, like, a fan runs on the field?
Yeah.
And, like, one of the football players, like, fully padded, just, like, nails the guy as hard as he can. That's kind of what it looked like.
Yeah. I did see that because I saw NFL memes posted it, and it's, like, better than the Browns defense, so.
Yeah. This guy just got leveled by this deer. And you can hear him, like, you can hear, like, the air exhale out of him, too. He's like, ugh, like, as he got hit. Everybody's like, oh, shit. But I guess he was okay and everything. And the deer just shook it off and kept running because they're like freaks. So, but yeah, the guy was kind of bumped and bruised pretty good. But
that's what you get for running, jerks. Like,
I know. Runs, like, seriously. Who runs, honestly?
Man.
Running's for deer.
I mean, the question is, how well did the deer do in the race? That's, you know.
Well, if he didn't win, he'd probably suck at being a deer, so.
So what am I thankful for? I think I will, I'll start with this one. What I am thankful for the public library. And it may sound kind of corny and dumb and dorky, but when I look at the amount of stuff I was able to get for free from the public library this year, it is insane. Like, I have this project that I'm working on where I'm trying to rate the top 100 graphic novels or comics of 2016. And comics are expensive, like we talked about, but the amount of amazing comics that I can get from my library for free is insane. Like, new ones, old ones, I can go online and reserve it, go pick it up. Not to mention movies, like music. They even might be getting board games soon. I was actually talking to someone there because I got the in at the public library. You know, I just got to drop a few names, and they might be allowing you to rent out board games too, which would be amazing. But it's like, it's insane the amount of great. Like, right now on my desk, I have Howard County Volume 1, James Bond from
Howard County is really good.
Yeah, I've heard that. I need to catch up with it, which is why I can get it from the library. And then Sabrina, which is, I think, a book you picked up, Greg.
For $5.
Yeah.
It's a good deal.
I just borrowed it from the library all for free. And I get to, you know, I get them for quite a long time, and I'll just return them. So if you're in the comics, you want to catch up with, like, some comics, because comics are – sometimes it's hard to find, you know, the old stuff, or it's – can even collecting stuff in trade can get up there. And maybe you don't even know if you're going to like it or not. And then it's like, okay, now I'm stuck with this book. That's where the library comes in, and you might be surprised what you can find. So, but Greg, I'll throw it back over to you before people yell at, make fun of me more for talking about the greatness of the library. I don't think I've ever sounded like a parent more than right now. What else are you thankful for?
I am thankful that Emily Ratajkowski does not care that she's naked. I don't know if anybody really saw today, like I did. Emily Ratajkowski is on vacation. I don't know exactly where. I don't really care.
Does she have a job? How are you on vacation when you don't even have a job?
She models and she acted in a few movies. But,
acted with quotation marks.
No. She was in a Ben Affleck movie.
Well, that just boosts her credibility.
Well, she was.
I'm just teasing.
But yeah, she just was going topless at the beach. Just whatevs. It was a one piece that she was wearing too, but she just felt the need to make it a smaller one piece. It was amazing.
Well, there you go.
By the way, she is the most perfect woman on the face of the planet. Just saying.
And she also somehow got hit by a deer. It's weird.
By the way, I hope I didn't make that as creepy as some of her Twitter followers do, who call her mommy.
Ew.
Yeah, they hit on her and they call her mommy. It is very bizarre.
That's
I don't get it either.
What? It's weird that that's a thing people do. Like, one person doing it is bad enough, but then it's fact.
Yes,
oh, this is what we all do.
Multiple people do with it. It's,
I don't know how
it's
stuff
very
anymore.
Bizarre. And I'm like, yeah, I'll just lay off and just say stuff on the podcast where she won't have a clue. Like, she doesn't listen to this, so it's like she doesn't have a clue.
Yeah.
And
never
so she can go about her life and not feel creeped out by me.
What's the mindset of that guy? I'm going to call her mommy, and then that will win her over, and then she's mine.
What does that say about that guy? Yeah.
Those guys.
Jeez.
Tells me Freud would have a field day with these people.
Yep.
Man. All right, Chuck. What else are you also thankful for?
I am thankful that Dormammu took the bargain with Doctor Strange. Otherwise, we'd still be watching that scene. And you know I'd still be sitting there, too. Like, I wouldn't have left to go shower or eat or something. I'd still be watching it. So.
I'm also thankful that scene ended so Chuck could take a shower.
Right.
Like, wait, Greg sat next to me. I think this is when he's making the deal. No, hold on. Man, yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Doctor Strange too is it's cleaning up financially. It's making a lot of money there. So
yeah, it is it's going nuts. It is going crazy. I'm thankful for the fact that Uwe Boll just announced his retirement from making movies.
Oh wow!
Yeah. For those who don't know who he is a movie director, and I use that term very loosely. He's made such classics as Alone in the Dark, House of the Devil, In the Name of the King, Blood Rain, 1, 2, and 3, I think, and Tekken. Basically, if a movie game exists, it's awful. He probably had something to do with it. And recently, he announced that he's retiring from making movies. The Cinema Geeks podcast that I do, we've been doing the video game one, and we recently reviewed House of the Devil, and I kid you not, it is legitimately the worst movie I've ever seen in my life. Like, they couldn't even, like, get the house or the devil part of the title correctly. And you know, like, Birdemic is bad, but funny bad? It's not even, like, funny bad, it's just depressing bad. He makes, like, Michael Bay look subtle. Anyway, it's, he's awful. At everything he does, so I'm happy he says he's retiring, and I'll take him at his word that he's not making any more movies.
His list of movies sounds like the when you're reading a comic book and they walk by a movie theater and there's like a list of fake movies. that's like his real list of movies.
Yeah, that's very true. Good point. I like that. All right, Greg. What else? So, Greg, you're thankful for Emily Ratajkowski's lack of clothing, as many Americans are apparently, and people in general. What else are you thankful for?
A simple one. I'm thankful for beer. I'm going to be drinking a lot of it this weekend, so I got to be thankful for it.
Yeah. Favorite kind? Do you have a preference?
I'll drink whatever you put in front of me, really. That
sounds like a dare.
There's only been one beer. I did drink some of it, but I couldn't finish the whole glass that was put in front of me. It was a chocolate peanut butter stout, and it was just too rich. It was just too much. Like, it was a small, it's like a small little sample glass that they give you, and they filled me up on it, and I drank about half of it, and I had to dump the rest of it. It was just too, like, you definitely have too much of a good thing, and they just like, oh, peanut butter's awesome, chocolate's awesome, stout's awesome, let's put it all together, and it just put in way too, like, it was just too much, like,
yeah,
that's the only beer that I have really turned down for the most part.
Turned down for what? Sorry.
Nice.
Very nice. I apologize for that joke. All right.
Don't apologize. Just let it out, man.
I will let it breathe.
Turned down for kill?
Chuck, what else are you thankful for?
I am thankful for... I'm thankful for this year, I guess, stores taking a stand and kind of staying closed on Thanksgiving Day.
Yes.
At least some of them. Because I feel like it's this thing that's gotten way out of control in the last few years where, you know, as if Black Friday wasn't enough and people were opening at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
And then it was like 3 a.m. and then it was like midnight and then it was like 7 o'clock Thanksgiving night. And it was just getting out of control. So there, like this year there's, I think it's like the Mall of America in Minnesota and like a bunch of other places are agreeing to like stay closed on Thanksgiving so that other employees can spend time with their family and friends and stuff, which is really what the holiday is all about. So I'm really, really glad that they're doing that because I feel like we're losing sight of the whole purpose of Thanksgiving and they're just focusing on the shopping and the selfish nature of our culture at this point. So
yeah, it's insane. Like it's like I think Macy's was opening up like Thanksgiving Day. I don't get it. Like I don't understand the need to. Do you really need to get like sweaters for 50% off? I don't. Like,
I know.
It's like it's give yourself a day. Like, you know what? My biggest present is not standing in line on Black Friday or Thanksgiving Day. I'd rather that present than yeah. But
yeah.
It's insane. I think what they were seeing too with that is that they tried to like bleed that dry and they ended up hurting themselves because it got to the point where people weren't really coming. It wasn't really, they weren't getting the crowds they once did because, you know, people didn't
and
need
plus
it.
With Cyber Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't have to wait outside in the cold on Cyber Monday. I mean, you can if you want to. Maybe if you're bumming out Starbucks' Wi-Fi for free, maybe that's when you'll have to do that. But
and you could buy stuff and whack off to porn, you know.
Hopefully not at Starbucks. I mean,
oh,
they might
totally at Starbucks.
They might kick you out. They might. I mean, we'll see. But speaking of Starbucks and lines in general, I'm thankful for the fact that there are people consistently out there looking for ways to eliminate lines in general. So there are a lot of people right now. For example, like Starbucks has an app where I'm not even a Starbucks drinker, but my wife is. Where you can put your drink in, pay for it, and I can just walk up to the counter, pick it up, and walk away. Like, I don't have to wait. I don't have to wait for them to say their names. Like, I legitimately don't have to communicate with the people that work at Starbucks at all, and it's amazing. It's also kind of weird, though, when you do that, and, like, people just think you stole someone's drink because you just walked in and took it off a table and then walked out. They're like, who's that guy, and why did he steal someone's drink? But a lot of people are doing that, like... There was a time, speaking of Chipotle, where I was going to pick up Chipotle. I'm like, I'll just pick it up when I'm there. And the line was like out the door. So I just got on my phone, ordered online, and then picked it up at the register online pickup section instead of waiting in the long line. I'm like, yeah, might as well do it that way. So I'm liking the fact that we're seeing that more and more where I can order food from my phone and not have to wait 20 minutes to eat it, which is great, especially if you're, you know, going out for lunch and only have an hour to do so.
And also very helpful for the extreme introvert that doesn't want to talk to anybody at the...
very true. Or, you know, the person that's worried they're going to get their name wrong no matter how easy it is. Like, no, my name is not Don. It's Dan. It's not that hard. Legitimately three letters, but whatever.
McKee? It's Mike!
Very nice. Greg, do you have any more things you were thankful for?
No, not really. Besides you guys, family, and that kind of mushy stuff. No, not really.
Yeah, you know, just the stuff that's important. But screw that stuff. Yeah.
But no, nothing else that's funny.
Chuck, anything else that comes to mind that you're thankful for?
I'll second that a little bit. Definitely family and friends. You know, the great thing about the holiday of Thanksgiving, one of my favorites. And, you know, family and friends are always there for you. So lean on them. Do not hesitate to
lean on me when you're not.
I'm thankful
strong.
For Greg singing. I don't know about you guys, but.
Yeah. And also, I'm also thankful for the football that's going on during and after dinner, because there's always those few family members that are like way too awkward. And if it weren't for football, you would not have anything to sort of ease that awkwardness. So very thankful for football on Thanksgiving Day.
So you say few family members, you've not mind the majority of them. So there you go. Well, depending on what side of the family, but yeah. So it's like, after you talk about, you know, if you've ever seen the movie Nebraska, there's these scenes of people just kind of just sitting around watching TV talking about, you know, how they got to where you're at. You know, like, how'd you get here? And that was the extent of the conversation. That's often the case. So,
and it's funny, too. Like, usually my family, like, everybody starts falling asleep, I guess, from the tryptophan and the turkey. And, sometimes I do, but most of the time I'm like, I stay awake. So I'm like, I get to watch like football in peace and quiet and everything. And everyone's like sleeping. And then I wake up at like the end of the game, like, oh, what happened?
not Thanksgiving Day related or anything, or thanks related. My favorite awkward conversation of all time was with your parents' friend, Dickie, Chuck.
Well, if you just stop right there, that's like explanation enough.
Yeah, I forget exactly what he said. So if you want to say it, Chuck, because I know you remember what he said.
I don't remember. Wait, are you talking about the?
Yeah. What do you guys?
Thing?
Yeah. What do you guys do?
Oh my gosh, I can't believe I almost forgot about that. That was funny. It was. Yeah, we were having this party, and like he came up to, it was myself, Greg, and our other friend Dan, our second Dan, and it was kind of like one of those situations where you have someone trying to bridge the age gap. So he was trying to like talk to us and kind of be cool and talk about something that we like, which I give him credit for, but he just did not know how to do that. And he was like asking us, he's like, oh, so, you know, what do you guys do when you hang out? What do you do for fun? Do you play like badminton or racquetball? Do you like racquetball? We're like, no. I don't know what you're talking about.
He doesn't look like a guy either that would even like think about badminton. But for some reason, he came up with badminton.
And that and racquetball. He was like obsessed with it. He's like, you guys don't play that? We're like, no, nobody plays that. Oh, it was hilarious.
No, we're America. We buy those badminton like yard games and then never use them after you like maybe once and then that's it. Like that's, you lose the birdie and it's like I'm done. So
we'd probably be more likely to buy like a racquetball game for Xbox and like play it on there than actual racquetball. I can't believe, good pull, Greg. I almost forgot about that. That's hilarious.
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair plus enough. Him dancing, but you can't really tell that as anything on a podcast.
Fair enough. I'm also thankful for the amazing amount of free content that exists nowadays, like that we can absorb for free. Oh, actually, you know what? Before I get that, I forgot one of the first ones I want to talk about. And that I'm thankful for great things returning. And that's the fact that, I don't know if you saw this, Greg, but Young Justice Season 3 apparently is happening.
Yes, I did see that. I believe I tweeted that out or retweeted somebody that said something about that. But yeah, it's coming back.
Oh. Yes. And which is amazing, which I'm really looking forward to. And, you know, for those that we've been talking about current Marvel comics, and right, Marvel and X-Men have not been getting along lately. They've been kind of, X-Men comics have not been great. There were some good ones here and there, but they did announce that they're bringing X-Men Gold and X-Men Blue. And anyone who's a 90s X-Men fan knows, like, that's a, you know, that can hit a special place. And they're going to apparently try to bring the X-Men back to what they once were, and that makes me excited if that's actually going to happen. They haven't announced who's going to be on the teams or anything like that, but if that's the mission going forward, I'm looking forward to it, because right now the Inhumans great experiment is just, it's not working, and I think they're coming to that realization, despite the fact that apparently that's going to be a TV show now.
Yeah, I've discovered that I like Black Bolt and do not give a crap about any of the other Inhumans. So,
I like Karnak.
He's okay. Yeah.
His current series has been decent. I just like his power to be able, the ability to like find the weakness in anything. I think that's a cool power. So
I like Lockjaw, but that's mostly because he just looks like a giant puppy.
Yeah, true.
One thing I wanted to bring up. While we're on this, it's kind of related to this in a way, but with Marvel's like movie stuff, excuse me. Did you guys read the article I just saw today? I didn't get a chance to completely like fact check it, but I'm just for the moment going to take this website for what it was. But they actually said that they kind of give an explanation for how the Deadpool movie and Guardians of the Galaxy 2 are related. In a way, I don't know if you guys saw that.
I saw something about it, but I didn't end up reading it. No,
and it's not in the sense that it's like, you know, they're crossing over in the same universe, but it's more in the sense of the sort of the behind the scenes stuff, the choices in the movie. So, I guess in the Deadpool movie, obviously they have Negasonic Teenage Warhead, and apparently they chose that character simply because of the name, literally nothing else. Like, they were going through this list of, like, X-Men characters, and, like, they're all sitting in the room, and they saw that name, and they're like, yep, she's going to be in the movie, because they just saw her name.
Nice.
But I guess they wanted to change her power set, because, like, in the comics, she's not nearly as, like, powerful as they made her in the Deadpool movie. So they wanted to really make some base changes to her powers, and they actually needed Marvel's permission to do that for the movie, which I thought was interesting. So in order for them, and it was cool because Fox and Marvel, as they're kind of talking this over, in order for them to give that, Marvel wanted something in return. So at this point, Fox sort of has this list of characters of their own as well, that they have the rights to. Obviously, you know, anything mutants, X-Men, Fantastic Four, and a lot of the cosmic characters related to the Fantastic Four, like Silver Surfer and Galactus and things like that. Kang the Conqueror, I think, it might be on there. But the whole thing was that they owned the rights to Ego the Living Planet.
Really?
And Marvel wanted him so that they could use him in Guardians of the Galaxy. So they struck this deal. And sort of traded those two things. They allowed Fox to change powers of Negasonic Teenage Warhead, and they gave them the rights to Ego to use in a Marvel movie. So I thought that was really interesting.
That is interesting. Because I wonder why they had the rights to Ego the Living Planet. I guess maybe he was in Fantastic Four. I don't know.
Yeah, I think he was in a lot of that stuff. But also, like, for me, it sort of gives hope to the future that, like, maybe they could make another sort of deal and maybe bring other characters in, like a Kang the Conqueror or something in the future. Yeah. And different things like that. Maybe, fingers crossed, like a Silver Surfer or Galactus or something like that. So actually do them right this time.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. Yeah. That's funny. They get Megasonic Teenage Warhead. We'll get Ego the Living Planet. the world of comics, I guess. We're maybe that makes sense. But also, I'm really looking forward to seeing how Ego looks in the movie, because that's going to be hard to pull off. We'll see. I mean, yeah. We just had Dormammu, so I guess anything's possible. But
yeah.
But I guess, you know, since it is Thanksgiving and people do like food, maybe we can end on this. What Thanksgiving food are you the most thankful for? What do you enjoy eating the most? Greg, we'll start with you.
Apple pie.
Apple pie.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Love the pie recipe thing that we have going here at the house. My mom has, like, my one grandmother's crust recipe and then my other grandmother's, like, filling recipe with the apples and everything. And just together, it just makes the best apple pie ever. And the only reason that I even have life during the fall, because I hate fall and winter, is the fact that there's apple pie, and it fattens me up really quick because I eat a lot of it.
I love the fall. I love it. Interesting. I mean, apple cider too, you know, that exists.
Yeah, not as the crust though. It doesn't have crust.
No, it does if you leave it out for a while.
No.
You're talking about the crust on top, like, kind of?
I'm talking about all of the crust on the pie. I like
rubbing it all over your body.
Oh, the edge of it. I like it when she has, like, leftover crust, and so she'll just take some brown sugar and cinnamon, and, like, she'll flatten out the pie crust, and then she'll put brown sugar and cinnamon, and then just kind of roll it up and bake that, and then you just, like, cut off pieces of that. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. So, do you like pumpkin at all? Like pumpkin pie, or not really?
No. No. If there's apple pie on the table, she is like the hottest sister ever. And then you got pumpkin pie, and she's the ugly troll sister. so yeah.
Interesting. I'm a pumpkin guy myself, but I do appreciate a good apple pie.
Not doing it right, Chuck.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm hitting it right.
See, I can't. No. Fruit pies just don't do it for me. Like, I can't. It's like, no. I don't know. Something with the texture just doesn't work for me. So, I know. I think that's anti-American not to like apple pie, but it's just the way it is. But Chuck, what about you? What is your go-to Thanksgiving?
I would have to probably say stuffing. I absolutely love stuffing. Especially with, like, a little bit of gravy mixed in and, you know, all the other stuff on your plate. But I really, really look forward to the stuffing, which is kind of funny because, like, you can have stuffing at any point in the year. Just buy, like, a box of Stovetop and it takes, like, 10 minutes. But I don't know, for whatever reason, the way it goes with everything else at Thanksgiving and stuff, I look forward to the stuffing so much.
It's a good sign when you can, like, everything on your plate you can put gravy on. It's just, like, it goes with it all.
So, am I an American if I say I don't like gravy?
My wife doesn't like gravy either, so you're not alone.
Yeah, I'm not a big gravy fan. I love mashed potatoes, though. I will not put gravy on them.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I can eat them by themselves, but I really prefer the gravy. It's just like, it's like eating french fries without ketchup. I can do it, but I don't prefer it.
But is it a particular type of gravy that you have this grievance against?
Or don't like gravy. Any kind of gravy.
Any gravy. Because there's, like, there's beef gravy, there's chicken gravy, country gravy.
Nope.
Ugh. Yeah, you're a Nazi.
I am part German, so you may not want to take that too far.
See, I'll go with a cheat. I don't know if this, because probably stuffing was up there for me, but I think my favorite thing about Thanksgiving is the leftover Thanksgiving turkey sandwich, like the night of or the next day. You know,
yes.
That's just like, you know, get some good mayonnaise or mustard, a good sandwich, and it's just, it's like, it all feels good. It all feels right. So it's weird, like, when I'm eating food and I'm thinking, I can't wait till I get to eat the leftovers too, but this is America and that's what we do. So
I also don't like leftovers.
Man,
you're definitely a communist Nazi.
What about leftover apple pie?
Oh yeah, well, not really leftover. You don't really get much.
There's
left
nothing
over.
Left over. He eats the whole pie at once.
Yes, if my stomach would actually do that, I would.
Dan, you gotta slap some stuffing on that sandwich as well.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
You know, two slices of bread, top and bottom, is not enough. You have to put bread between them too. So
you do. Maybe I can put like an in between, like the two pieces of bread, also turkey, kind of like the double decker at KFC. So just to make it all work.
I like it.
All right. Well, if you want to let us know what you're thankful for, you can do that by going to geekcastradio.com, commenting on the episode post, or emailing us at feedback@geekcastradio.com. You guys are also on, we're also on Facebook and Twitter. You can search Talking in Circles, GCRN. You guys are also on Twitter. What are your Twitter names?
I am at HeroicHChuck.
I am at TheCreateForge.
And I am at TheRevolt. But that'll be it for this week. We'll be back next week. Same time, same channel, same podcast feed. But for now,
this has been Chuck.
This has been Craig, or Ego the Living Perv.
And this has been Dan. We've been talking in circles. We'll see you next week. You know, Perv works. I mean, Ego the Living Mom?
Well, I figured I was talking a lot, being creepy about Emily Ratajkowski. Not as bad as some, but still.
Ego's a living apple pie.
So good.
Would you still eat it if it was living? I mean, that's the question. I mean, technically, we ate turkey and it was living.
Living, yeah.
But if it was
so if I, like, shoot it and then bake it some more, is it like a raw apple pie? That it's alive and then I shoot it, it dies, and then I bake it and then it's like an actual, because I would totally do that.
Somehow there was a magical apple pie that came to life once the crust was put on it. So actually the forming of the apple pie brought it to life. So you gave it life through the formation of the creation of the cooking it. So you did bring it into this world.
I'm gonna take it out.
Do you recognize the miracle, or do you say, no, I want my apple pie. I'm going to destroy you now so I can eat you in my belly.
Thanks, John Madden.
I will let the store-bought apple pies, because those are just gross, go and live free, but I will hunt down the homemade ones.
There you go.
The free-range apple pies?
Free-range apple pies.